Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I praise and thank God for this blessed Sunday morning that God has given us in our life. Thank God that we could come here today morning to worship Him, to praise Him, and to exalt His holy name today morning. As we sang today, our Redeemer lives. And because He lives, we live forevermore. And it is just because of the love of God, because of the power of God, because of the Spirit of God, that we are here today in His presence to praise and exalt His holy name. We cannot boast of anything. We cannot take pride in anything. It's just because the love of God that has brought us today, this morning time, to His presence. And let's thank God for His presence in our midst. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity's presence, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. His presence is here. And let us be in that attitude of praising God in tongues, in the Holy Spirit. Let us be in the presence of our God. Today morning, as I was taking the Sunday school class, I saw Betty sister just passing by, and my heart was excited because I was thinking that anytime I'm going to get a word from pastor that your message is postponed because Joel pastor is here. But I didn't get any message, and by the time already pastor was on the stage before I could come and say to him that why not relieve me today. But anyhow, it is all guided by the Holy Spirit. So may God guide us and lead us. I know the value of time. They all depends on this youth meeting. If the youth message goes a little further, everything will go further, and then you will murmur that rejoice, brother, he was the fault today. So the Lord's table is in our midst, and the word of God also has to be spoken. So without wasting my time, I'm just going to the message that God has put into my heart today. And so let's all turn our Bibles to John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. I'm going to read for you here. John, somebody can help me in reading that. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. So here we read, now everybody can listen to me, and if I say some very few verses only we are going to read, and all other messages that I will be saying from the pulpit. So we were just reading from the book of John. We know that John is the fourth gospel, or the last gospel of the New Testament. And we know a lot of things about John. He was an apostle, he was a beloved apostle of Jesus Christ, and he was entrusted with taking care of Jesus' mother, and he's preparing the Passover, and we can see many places John. We have read about John. John wrote the book of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and also he wrote the book of Revelation. So when we read about the book of John, or of apostles, it helps us to see Christ as an ideal king. It helps us to see Christ as an ideal God, as an ideal friend, as an ideal man, and as an ideal servant for each one of us. So it clearly depicts the love of our Jesus Christ. And when we can say many things about the book of John, but let me go back to this John chapter 7. So when we start John chapter 7, it says that after these things. So it's a peculiarity of John. When he writes after these things. We can see, I think, in John chapter 3, John chapter 6, John chapter, I think 5 also is there, 6, and then it comes to 7, and then if you go to Revelation, where it was written by John, there also John is saying, Revelation chapter 17 and 18, there all we see that after these things. So John is just expressing this to say some kind of order of what happened. So when we read John chapter 7, in first chapter verse, he's written that after these things. So what happened in John chapter 6? So there are some order that happens in John chapter 6. So we see, if we don't need to look into John chapter 6, but I'm just saying a nutshell of today's message. So John chapter 6, we can see that Jesus feeds the 5,000 men alone. So dear children of God, dear kids, dear youth, when we say that after these things, there was some miracles performed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He fed the 5,000. He fed their needs. Their need was food, and He fed them. He is a God who can feed us. He is a God who is able to answer our prayers. Whatever provisions we need in our life, He is able to give us today. We see He feeding the 5,000, and then we see He's walking on the waters. He's going to His disciples were afraid, and He is saying to the disciples, do not be afraid. I am with you. Hallelujah. Rabala Shandala Rabala Sadala. We have to know one thing, that Jesus Christ is right in our midst. Do not be afraid for anything. He is a God who is able to give all the provisions in our life. Hallelujah. And then as we move forward, we see that one, Jesus Christ is telling about his body and flesh. He tries to speak the real heavenly things, that why he came into this world for. And then when he looked, people began to slowly depart away from him. And Jesus Christ is telling that they came here because they need food and they need miracles in their life. But when the real word of God was spoken to them, they began to depart. And he's asking his disciples, do you also want to leave me? And you know what Peter says there? No, we have nothing, nowhere else to go. You are our eternal Father. We understand you, we know you, and we believe in you. My dear church, my dear children, youths, we should know one thing, that Jesus Christ is our Father. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is with us. Hallelujah. We have nowhere else to go as children of God, because the Holy Spirit is guiding us. He is leading us. He has entrusted that Holy Spirit within us. And these are the things which happened in chapter 6. And then when it comes to chapter 7, it says that after these things. And then we find that Jesus Christ is alone with his brothers there. And we see the Feast of Tabernacles in chapter 7. When we say about the feast, there are a lot of feasts with the Jews where Jews used to have their customs. There is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Tabernacle. In John chapter 6, we see the Feast of the Passover. So we can see that a lot of feasts are going on there. So chapter 7, the Feast of the Tabernacle was happening. And Jesus' brothers, they are telling to Jesus, why don't you also go to the feast and expose yourself so that you will be known? If you have come as the Messiah, if you have come as the King, why don't you go and expose yourself? And Jesus Christ is saying there one thing, my time has not yet come. You know, as I am sharing going to my main message, I'm just saying a few words that will encourage us. When our time comes, when we are praying for something, if it does not happen, you have to know what the words of Jesus Christ say, my time has not yet come. You may not having the job that you prefer now, you are preferring, hallelujah. You may not have the house that you have in your mind now. You may not have the blessings that you are not have, but there is a time for everything, and everything will happen at its time, hallelujah. Arba shandala radala. Everything has an appointment time, and at the right appointment time, God is able to lift you in whichever situations and wherever you are placed. And then as we go through John chapter 7, we read the things that when he's going to the Feast of the Tabernacle, and he slowly started teaching to the people there. So when we read about the Feast of Tabernacle, it's also called as Sukkot. In Hebrew language, it's also called as Sukkot. So it's a 7-day festival where on all these 7 days, they pray for other nations. They praise God, and on the last day, they all come together and they praise God. And that was the main important and the last major day of the tabernacle, where all the people come there. So the Feast of the Tabernacle, they are doing it mainly for two reasons. One, to remember God for all his loving kindness in the wilderness. Hallelujah. As we are here today morning, we also have to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle, thanking God for all the ways that he has led us thus far. Hallelujah. And the second thing that they are celebrating, the Feast of the Tabernacle, is they are awaiting the coming of the Messiah. The coming of the Messiah, when everybody will look up to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Today morning, as we are here, we have to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle for two reasons. One, for remembering all that God has done in our life. And second thing, for the coming of Jesus Christ. And now, let us go back to the verse that we read. Can you read one more time, verse 37 and 38? Thank you, Jamie. So here it says, streams of living water shall, some versions say out of his belly, some versions say out of his heart, it comes out. So let us keep that 37 and 38, and let's go to some areas, and we are going to come back to 37 and 38. So we read, streams of living waters shall flow from his heart. When I was just meditating on this message, and by the way, if Saji Pastor tells somebody of you to tell the message, take it. The reason is that when I was meditating on these verses, or I would not have meditated, or I would not have prayed to Lot of things, you know, the Spirit speaks to us. That is how the Spirit, it enables us, it equips us to know the unknown things. And I was really immersed in the Word of God when I was meditating on this. So I thought that I should share this whenever Saji Pastor said, take it as a challenge, sit in the presence of God, and He is going to give you, He is going to reveal you great things that you need in your life. So when we read about water, suddenly something came into my mind, the importance of water in the Bible, right? If you read from Genesis onwards, you can see that water plays a very important role. The Spirit of the water hovered over the waters. We can see from the beginning. Then when we see the water acted in many ways in the Bible. If we see, it was a savior for the people of Israel. When they came, when the enemy was back, the waters departed for them. But at the same time, the water was an enemy to the people of Israel, right? Sorry, to people of Egypt, because it made them destroyed. The people of Egyptians, they were destroyed by the water. So water, we can see, is a savior there. It is an enemy to those people who do not love God. And we see a lot of things. When Moses struck the rock, water came out, right? This all resembles many things that all we learn later. So water came out. We can see then water, when Jesus, the first miracle of Jesus, water was turned into wine. And we can see Jesus shows his humbleness or meekness when he washed the feet of disciples with water. And then we can see, if you see, Jesus walked on the water. You know, there is a group of theologians, a Bible college was there. And in the last year, I think the third year, the students were going to get graduated. So one of the professors came and told, okay, you all have read your Bible. Everybody told, yeah, in these 3 years, we read two times, three times, we read the Word of God. So the professor told them one thing. Okay, I just want you to all, by the end of next week, bring an assignment. I'm sure today, most of the kids are writing their assignment today because we have given them an assignment that you have to write one page of today's youth message. So they're all concentrated here. Thank God for that, and teachers are going to check it also. So they gave an assignment. After 1 week, you should come with a word or with a sentence of the complete message of the Word of God. And I will mark you for that one. And everybody brought, some people brought essays, pages, 3 pages, 10 pages. And there was one student, when the professor looked at him, there is only one line. He was astonished. He saw pages of essays and essays, and there was only one. And when he read that, the professor read, water saw its creature, and it obeyed him. That is the substance of the Bible. Water saw its creature, and it obeyed him. What a beautiful sentence. Instead of essays and pages and hundreds of theses or pages, just one word makes it very clear. Water saw its creature, and it obeyed. And that's what the importance of water that we see in the book of, in the Bible. So in this context, verse 37 and 38, Jesus Christ says something that rivers of living water shall come out of you. What is this river? Rivers of living water. That's what my main message is. And to find that answer, please read verse 39. So now you got the answer. What is the rivers of living water? The rivers of the living water is the Holy Spirit. So, if the waters played an important role in the whole Bible, it is the Spirit of the Lord that was playing an important role from the beginning to the end. So, today's message, actually, I know that I'm standing in front of pastors. Today's message is a long Bible study, but I'm going to stay you in a nutshell. We are going to learn about the Holy Spirit. We need that Holy Spirit these days. Oh, we need it. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is very, very important. That is the person who is leading us nowadays to see the eternal life. So, in a nutshell, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in the life of a believer. It's the presence of God in the life of a believer. Just like we know that we need oxygen to live in our daily life. We need oxygen. In the same way, we need the Spirit of God. And what is the Spirit of God? We know when the Spirit of God, it hovered over the waters. And when God made man, I don't want you to read all those portions in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. If you read there, He made man and He breathed His life into it. And that was the Spirit. And when He breathed His life into us, the body The soul and the spirit are now working together. The body, the mind, and the soul is working towards that eternity. Hallelujah. And that is the spirit that was given to us in the beginning. And that same spirit is flowing on nowadays. Right? So, and also we know the breath of Jesus Christ, the breath of God is the Holy Spirit. We learned it from Genesis 2:7. If you go to the book of, I think it is in Mark, the disciples were sitting inside in a room. They were so afraid. And Jesus Christ comes into this closed room and he is telling, peace be unto you. Receive my Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he breathed to them. And they received the Holy Spirit by which they were strengthened. My dear children of God, that is the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. So the question, who is this Holy Spirit? He is, even though he is a divine person, he's not only a divine person, but he is an in-person within us. He can be grieved. He's like us. He can be grieved. And you may ask, how does he be grieved? Through our actions, he can be grieved. We know that David, when he committed a sin, he grieved the Holy Spirit. And that's why we read this famous Psalms 51. He says that, O Lord, create in me a clean heart and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. See, if a king, he said, King David, he knows the importance of the Holy Spirit. He knows, yes, that Holy Spirit that I need in my life. So my dear children, my dear youth, my dear church, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the second thing, who is the Holy Spirit? He lives in our body because our body is the temple of God. Hallelujah. Can you read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. So here, what we read is that we are the temple of God. My little children, youths, church members, our body is the temple of God. And the Spirit is dwelling in us. So we should not grieve the Holy Spirit through any of our actions, through our words. But we should always please the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, when he was in this world, hallelujah, he grew up in stature and favor of God and man. In the same way, when we are in this world, we should try to please the Holy Spirit in all ways of our life. I know there are a lot of points which we say, who is the Holy Spirit? But I'm just telling you some basic points. I have written here like 4 or 5 points. But the first thing when I was telling, who is the Holy Spirit? He is a person who dwells in us. And where does he dwell? He dwells in our body. And the third, he advocates for us. He's a mediator for us. And the last point, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. If you look into 2 Corinthians and in Ephesians, we can see that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We know that when we go to some notary or when we get some, you know, important letters, it's a seal, you know, it's a seal of authority. It comes to us. Nobody cannot go and open it, right? They cannot go and open it. Any persons cannot open it because it is sealed by a stamp of an important person. If a prime minister, the other day, somebody in our apartment, he got a letter from the prime minister. So I saw that it is sealed. Nobody, I cannot go and open it. Okay, let me read the prime minister's letter. No, I will be in jail. So when you have the seal of authority on you, there is an Holy Spirit who has sealed you. And nobody can defile you. You cannot defile the body because you are sealed through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit for Jesus Christ. So that is the main point. Who is the Holy Spirit? So what does the Holy Spirit do? So he has many important roles. The Holy Spirit has many important roles. But the important thing of the Holy Spirit who is within us is to bind us with Christ. It is to bind us with Christ and help us to become more like him. To bind us with Christ and to be more like him. You know, Christians, eternal life does not start after we die. But it starts at the time when we accept Christ and when God fills us with the Holy Spirit. At that time itself, we see the eternal life. Hallelujah. It's not after our death, but we see the eternal life right here when we are here. So what does he do? He teaches us the truth about Jesus Christ. I'm not taking to read the verse because the time is going up. So he helps us to teach the truth. He equips us for several ministries. That's why I told, when you get a chance to say a message, take it up. Because he equips us with the word of God. He helps us to interpret the word of God. That's what he does in our life. He communicates to God on our behalf. on our behalf. You know, on our behalf is a verse, is a word that I, you know, mostly use on all the 5 days. Because I know that people come there to our office, they ask us, oh, you know, we want to make a basement, or we want to construct a house, or we want to do some renovations. So we tell them, okay, submit applications, submit drawings. Oh, we don't know how to do drawings. Then we say that, yeah, you can hire a designer on your behalf, or you can go to an engineer or architect who will draw on your behalf, and they will submit to us. So on your behalf is a word that I use almost all 5 days. So in the same way, on our behalf, the Holy Spirit is here to seal us in Jesus Christ, to advocate for us, to communicate for us for all our problems. For us, he is right now here. Hallelujah. To communicate for us wherever, on our behalf. If you see, if you find anything difficult in your life, it may be your studies, it may be your job, it may be in any areas of your situations or life. One thing, make sure that you are sealed by Christ and he advocates on your behalf for all your problems. Hallelujah. He is right now here, and he empowers the Holy Spirit. Yeah, what is our question? What does he do, right? What does the Holy Spirit do? He empowers Christians in their life to live accordingly to the design of God. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to live accordingly, to make us live accordingly to the design of the God. And it's a promise of the greater things to come. We have never seen, we have not seen, you know, great things. We are yet to see that. The Holy Spirit, he is someone who does that one. So we learned who is the Holy Spirit. He dwells in our body. We knew, what does he do? He advocates for us on our behalf. There are many points, but let me go to the next one. Where is Holy Spirit in the Bible? Can anyone tell me, where is Holy Spirit in the Bible? Yes, Emmanuel. Everywhere? Do you agree with me? Yeah. So if you look into the Old Testament, we see the God the Father, right? And we know about Jesus Christ. He is in the New Testament. So Sunday school students, I was asking them, where do you see the Holy Spirit? Some said in Mark, some said in John, some said in Acts. But the simple answer is, Holy Spirit is everywhere in the Bible. Everywhere in the Bible, Holy Spirit. From the beginning to the end, Holy Spirit is there if you carefully study the Word of God. So where does he start? From the beginning, as we said, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. When in the beginning, God made the heaven and earth, and the Spirit of the God was hovering on the waters, right? So there it starts. It started there. And then we said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we said, he breathed the life into them. And that was the Spirit. And that's why I say that the body, the soul, and the Spirit are working together for that eternity. And then, where is the Holy Spirit next in the Bible? We see that he lived within Moses. I don't want to make the portions read, but if you look to Numbers 11, chapter 11, verse 16 to 17, he was within Moses. The Spirit of God was within Moses, and he was also with the people of Israel, and he led them to the promised land. So he was with the Moses. He was with the prophets. We read in Ezekiel, you know, the dry bones are coming up. The Spirit of God is working through all the prophets that we can see. And we see in Isaiah, the Holy Spirit prophesied about Jesus. A virgin shall give birth to a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. So the Holy Spirit is everywhere in the Old Testament. And if we come to the New Testament, we see John the Baptist. He experienced Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus Christ obeyed the commandment of the heavenly kingdom. When he obeyed it, the Holy Ghost came down, and he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We all are beloved to Christ. We are all beloved sons and daughters of our most Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God came down to Jesus and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we see that Jesus Christ, we see the Holy Spirit, you know, through, it came in the form of a dove to the presence of the Holy Spirit. We see the first followers of Jesus Christ being filled with the Holy Spirit. We have all the Bible verses as a reference, but I'm not saying that because of the shortage of time. And he gives the believers the strength to live a Christian life. And if you ask, where does it end? It ends in Revelation chapter 22. We'll read it in the end, 16 and 17, where it says the bride and the Spirit comes there, and those who are thirsty will get it freely. So in the last verse, he's saying that those who want the Holy Spirit, it's given to them freely. It's inside you. It's our duty to make the Holy Spirit grow inside it, but not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So we learned about who is the Holy Spirit, what is his duty, where is the Holy Spirit in the Bible? It's everything in a nutshell. And we are going to the last point, conditions to receive the Holy Spirit. This is very, very important. Conditions to receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what we read in the verse 37 and 38. So when we go to 37 and 38, and 39 refers to the Holy Spirit, but when we go to 37 and 38, there are four conditions that Jesus Christ, when he says that we need to receive the Holy Spirit, or the rivers of living water will flow from us. So the four main points, and I'm going to conclude my message. The first one is thirst. So whoever is thirsty, let him come to me. So what is the meaning of thirst? Thirst means is the ardent eager, or the keenness, or the passion of the soul for complete union with God. It's a thirst. When we have a thirst, it's we are completely being immersed in the love of God. We thirst. You know, we read in Psalms, I think 42 verse 1 and 2, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after the hallelujah. You know, the heart or the deer, it runs because some enemy chases him and he runs. He needs water after some time because he's being chased and he needs water. He's longing for water. Another version says that some of the heart, when the animals come to attack them, they go into the deep waters just keeping their nose upward. They wanted to escape from the enemy. So in these versions, the deer runneth away from the enemies. My dear children, youths, when we have difficult situations in life, things in our life, you need to thirst for the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to come to your presence for your defense, for your protection, for all your provisions. He is there. So we should have a thirst for the Holy Spirit. And what are the things that we need to thirst to receive the Holy Spirit? One is for the living God. I'm not going to the explanations, but we need to seek for the living God. We need to seek the righteousness. Right, in Matthew says, those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. So you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it is for the spiritual salvation of Christ. And we should thirst for wisdom and knowledge. In Proverbs, we know that we need the wisdom and knowledge to live in the Word. And the next thing, important thing, is baptism in the Holy Spirit. So we need to thirst for that. My dear little children, nowadays it's not like in the previous years, prophets or pastors will not come nowadays. You know, we all expect them to come and place your head and take the Holy Spirit. But you should go to your room, kneel down in the presence of God, and ask God to fill with your Holy Spirit. Let not the Holy Spirit come from man, but let the Holy Spirit come to you from God. Hallelujah. Rasha Dalada Sandura Radala. You should speak in tongues. You should prophesy. Hallelujah. You should have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And my dear children, youth, you should long for that Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You should take your time, at least half an hour or 10 minutes daily, and ask God, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I thirst for it. Hallelujah. In Psalm 63, I think it is I don't want to read it, but it is say that, Oh Lord, I long for you in the early mornings. I thirst for you to seek from you. Hallelujah. My dear children, youth, we need to have that thirst. So the first point is how to attain the Holy Spirit. One is to have that thirst. And in verse 37, he says, the second point, come unto me. So you should have a thirst. The second point is come unto me. Hallelujah. What do you mean by come unto me? It is completely surrender of one's life to do the whole will of God. Not the part will of God, to do the whole will of God. So the first one, how you can attain it, one is by thirst. The second one is come to him. And that means you should have a fellowship with him. Right? So if you read in Matthew chapter 11, I think 28 and 30, still, Jesus Christ is telling to the people, come unto me, all those who are weary and tired, and I will lead you. I will give you comfort. So we need the Holy Spirit wherever we are. We need to go to him. Go to his presence. Have that thirst. And we need to go to his presence. And the third thing is drink. What do you mean by drink? So Jesus Christ, those who are thirsty, come unto me and drink from me. What is drink? Drink means the wholehearted reception of one's life to the gifts of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we get a drink or when we get a cold drink, how much satisfied we are, especially in this hot weather, right? And it's the same way when we are weary and tired, we need to have the Holy Spirit within us so that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, when you are in your school, when you are in colleges, when you are in universities, when you are in your workplace, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit should lead you each day of life. Tell to the Holy Spirit, God, I am not worthy. I have this problem. You know, every time I say, and that we practice in our home also, one thing, I think I have said many times, when you go through a difficult situation, when you hear of something on a particular day, say that you went to the doctor and the doctor told that, yo, something is there in your eye or something is there in your, you know, some problem with you. You know, we all get upset, right? Or something, maybe your marks failed or you didn't get the job that you preferred or you applied for something or you were, you know, hurt by something. Something, yeah, any situations you can take in your life. You know, always I say one thing. That day when you hear that one, don't say to any man, not even your father, not even your mother, your brother, siblings, not even to your pastors, not even to your Sunday school headmaster or your teachers. No. The first day, kneel upon God that night and say to the Holy Spirit, I have this problem. You know, in this way, you are giving your problem to the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are giving to the Creator who has the control. Man has limited control on it. But on the second day morning, you can tell to your pastor, you can tell to your friends, you can tell to your dad, mom, share with. But you have already given that authority the previous night to the Holy Spirit. He is going to take control. Just experience that. I have experienced that. We have experienced that. If you can experience that, just from today onwards, if you hear something, just give that night to the presence of God. And the next day onwards, you will see the deliverance. You will see the deliverance. I know that many of you have experienced that. So let us drink from the Holy Spirit. So don't forget that point. We should have that thirst. Come unto Him. And we should drink from His presence. And we know when we drink from His presence, we will be filled by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Well, I don't put it on this screen. Galatians chapter 5, 22, 23. All the kids and the youth and even the church members, let us say it out loud. What is the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Don't put it there. What is it? Love. Done? Okay. So, total 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, when you drink from there, now you can put if you want more. So 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. If we are filled with that one, you know, God will be able to carry us in the coming days. And one more thing, when we said about drinking, we know Saji Pastor reads here on the last Sunday and on the first Sunday, when from 1 Corinthians, this is my cup of the New Testament in my blood. When you do this in remembrance of me. That is what it's kept in front of us. We are going to drink from it. And our thirst will be filled. The Holy Spirit will be with us. And let me come to the last point. What Jesus said. So first one was, those who are thirsty, come unto me and drink. And the last point is, believeth in me. What does it mean to believe? Believe means to obey to the whole gospel program. Whatever the gospel has been programmed for us, we need to believe in that program. And when we do that things, Jesus Christ has said, believeth in me. And you will do greater things than what I did. And let's read also John chapter 3 verses 14 and 15 and 16. 14, 15 and 16. John chapter 3 verse 14, 15 and 16. This is the beautiful verse. So whosoever believes, God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So if you believe in Christ, you will get that eternal life. And God will lead us in a mighty way if we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. So my dear children, my dear kids, as I'm going to stop this message today, may God lead us by the Holy Spirit through the Bible. Through the reading of the Word of God, you will receive the Holy Spirit. When I was reading these passages and the meditating, the Holy Spirit was filled inside me. In the same way, when you meditate, when you carry the Word of God will fill you. And let us be filled by the inward witness. Means we are children of God. When we know that we are the children of God, the Holy Spirit in us. And lastly, the Holy Spirit will speak to us through our consciences. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, when we drink from that Holy Spirit, when we thirst for it, when we are filled it, when we believe in it, when we go outside, the Holy Spirit will lead us. Yeah, you should do this. You cannot do this. My dear children of God, we are the children of God, right? We are God's children. We have limitations from the outside world. We cannot sit everywhere that the outside world sits. We cannot go everywhere where the outside world goes. There is limitations for us because the Word of God is like that. If you read Psalms 1, I know. And then if you read the book from the Bible, it says that. Yes, we have limitations. It doesn't mean that we cannot enjoy in this world. We can enjoy everything that God has given us. But always let the Spirit be inside you, that He will speak to your inward consciousness, be there or not to be there. For that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah 4, it says, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Not by might, not by power, but it's just through the Spirit of God. And may I end my words by reading Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 and 17. And Jesus sent, I, Jesus, sent my angels to testify unto you these things to the churches. I am the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, and let him that is thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So this morning, let me emphasize one thing. The Spirit is free. It is free of cost. You just need to obey him. You just need to surrender to him. You need to just drink from him. You should have the thirst for him. And if you have that thirst, and if you drink, if you come to him, and if you believe in him, the Spirit, which was from the beginning of the Bible, which, and to the end, as we read in Revelation 22, 16 and 17, he will give us freely. And with the Holy Spirit, we will do greater things in the days to come. May God bless us all with these words. I request all the Sunday school kids to come forward for the song and the testimony.